Darren, do you mind if I wanted to just give an opportunity, because usually what happens, people usually want to ask some questions, and I know some of y'all probably have to get back to work, and feel free to do that. But if there are any questions anybody wants to ask, I want to just, for the first question that's always asked is, do you know Peyton Manning? Because we heard he was going to be here today, and we're wondering who you are. No, the answer is, of course, yes, I know Peyton Manning, and I usually sarcastically answer it by saying I showered with Peyton Manning for 10 years. Now, granted, it was in a large room with a bunch of shower heads around the outside. It wasn't like, hey, man, can I get under the nozzle real fast? If that kind of thing offends you, then you just really need to chill out. I know Peyton Manning. Yes. You know what? I have a band called the Hunter Smith Band. I love. That's an interesting question, and I don't take this as any kind of a correction or anything. You know what I found out? Just the longer I live life, I found out that bands can't get saved. And I found out that music can't get saved. I don't know. It's strange. People tell me they have a Christian company. I don't think companies get saved. People do. And so, to answer your question, we have a band of Christians making a living in the mainstream marketplace as a working entity. So, yes, we have a... Yes, we play all over the place. And you know where we really like to play is Indiana. We all have a bunch of kids. And so, if you've got... chances are, if there is a fair or festival up here, around here, we have played it or are going to play it sometime soon. We play those kind of events. We play fundraisers, all kinds of stuff. If anybody wants to talk about that, we can talk about that also. It doesn't make good news. You know, turn on the news and tell me if there's good news on any level about anyone doing anything good. There's something corrupt in the human heart that wants to hear the worst. And so you don't hear about the best things, you know. You hear about, and really, I don't know how you raise the level of awareness about that kind of thing, and furthermore, it's a great question, and once again, not a correction at all, I promise you, but I was thinking about, you know, like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and I think there's something beautiful in athletes going and doing great things that nobody ever knows about. I think that there's something really neat about that. You know, do we need the world's institutions to put our stuff in lights? I don't know if it really does any good, and I don't know if it's really really the purpose, the point anyway. I think it's great when I hear things that encourages me and stuff like that. I'm just not the right guy to ask that question to, because I don't know. If I answer this question honestly, it will look like I'm saying something good about me, okay? Where Notre Dame starts in the right place is the kind of kids they bring there are the kind of kids who would want to give back later in life. It's not so much that they emphasize something while we're there about, you know, philanthropy or anything like that. It's more just... the type of guys they bring there, you know, most of y'all don't know, and I'm not going to tear down his character, but Randy Moss was in my recruiting class at Notre Dame, and few people even remember that he signed with Notre Dame. And Randy's a phenomenal athlete, and I presume a decent fella, but he got in some real bad trouble in high school. He got into a fight and then some other things he got into, and Notre Dame just said, you know, we know you're the best athlete literally in the nation, but no thanks. You know, that's just kind of their stance on it. So I think the answer is that it's kind of a preemptive thing. They recruit people on the front end that are going to be that way later in life. On Tebow? In the digital world, you have to stop before you talk. And it's not something I'm very good at. Ask my wife. First of all, I never understood what the big deal was. I never understood, like to me, what the mainstream media is saying in their tearing down of Tim Tebow is, hey, we want you to be dishonest. Don't live out of who you really are. And that never made sense to me. Isn't this the land of the free and the home of the brave? And aren't we tolerant of people and their beliefs? Like, why can't somebody be Tim Tebow? And, you know, why would you want to force them by your mechanisms to be something they're not? That's true for any Christian athlete or anything like that. I think a lot of people think that there's a real spiritual component to it also in his persecution of not being signed. I think some people think that. I won't comment on that, but I'll say this. I don't think Tim Tebow's a very good quarterback. And I don't mean that. I'm like, Tim Tebow is twice the athlete I am. He's twice the athlete a lot of guys in the NFL are. My whole thought on him was, man, if you were like, you know, this opportunity really does come once to play in the NFL, just go play tight end and you'll be good. Play an H-back or a slot position or something if you want to play football. Now, it doesn't seem like he wants to. And so that's great. Go and make a difference otherwise in the world. I think it's kind of a good example of, this game isn't everything. It's obviously not everything to him, or he'd do anything to play it. And that's kind of, to me, I think that that's refreshing to see somebody do that. Utmost respect for him, for his faith, for his stance, all that. I just think if he wanted to play football, he'd be great at another position. Oh, I love that question. That's a good question. No. Because, okay, first of all, I'm an artist. And so this answer is going to be like, really? There's a little book. Actually, it's not real, real small, but it's not very known. By a guy named Sheldon Van Auken. And it's called A Severe Mercy. It is the best book I have ever read. His name is Sheldon Van Auken. And it's called A Severe Mercy. It is the best book I've ever read. It's an older book. He writes in kind of this old English style. It's not too hard to understand, though. And I love it. If there's one thing I'd tell you to read, that would be it. Where's the Super Bowl ring? Did you ever wear it? I should wear it. Today is one of those days where about halfway here I thought, you know, this is probably where you're supposed to wear that. I would have to find it first. And once I found it, then I would wear it. You know, honestly, it's like wearing this microphone on your hand, though, so it's not real. I tear up all my my suit pants with it because it's huge, and it's kind of cumbersome. But yeah, I got one. It's cool. That's right. It's a very important thing. Is, you know, anyone else? I grew up in the South. We're all Christians in the South. I grew up, and I'll probably step on some toes here. Don't hate me. I grew up in a little, a big denomination in the South, a little denomination up here called the Church of Christ. And one of the things about the Church of Christ is we're non-instrumental. No music, no lots of things. No dancing, no swimming, a lot of that. At least the traditional view. And but I will say this, it was a wonderful place. My mother drug us to church, and a wonderful place to learn the scriptures, to be involved in the culture of faith. And along the journey, I went to Notre Dame, which is Catholic, obviously. And you guys, okay, so in the South, here's how it operates. If you're a Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ in the South, you're sure of two things. You're sure that the Catholics and the Charismatics are going to hell. You're not certain about the Presbyterians and the Episcopals, but you can darn well guarantee that those two camps will be banging on the gates, screaming, "Let me in." And so going to Notre Dame blew my mind, because within being there for just a few months, suddenly I met charismatic Catholics. Tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, liturgical Catholics. And I remember going, okay, either everyone in the world is wrong, or my views have been a little narrow. And God began to expand that umbrella that was the kingdom of God that I just could not fathom people could be, like that. And the thing was, those people that I met were bearing a lot more fruit than I was. And it was hard for me because, you know, by your fruit you'll know them. He's not going to gather everybody someday in front of him and group them all in front of the sign that was outside their building and say, "All right, you're the goats, you're the sheep." You know, when he's going to, everybody gets an individual judgment, regardless of if they were whatever. And so going there helped me to see, man, the kingdom is bigger than I thought it was. And so that was a huge, that doesn't sound like much of a personal, that was a huge change in my life though. And then from there, just understanding what obedience to Christ meant. And to back up a little bit, I was baptized and saved and whatever the good ceremonial term is for becoming a Christian, when I was about 11 or 12 at a church camp. That was where it started. But probably at 22, I had as big of a change in my life from just active discipleship with a man that knew the Lord. And then since then, it's kind of just, you know, I think it's a journey. I really do. I think the whole thing is kind of a... So that kind of overwhelms me to try to answer that question, but I think you know what I'm saying. I was raised in the church and have kind of grown a little bit ever since. I think we're done, unless there's anything else burning out there on somebody's heart. Thank you guys so much.